Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
This is so exciting. This is so exciting.
Come on.
Saw it on Instagram. It's on the Daily Mail this morning, so clearly it must be true. Ed Cavalier, you have a big announcement.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well done.
Thanks
yes,
very
he
much.
Is a female.
I have a huge I have a huge announcement. Osher and I are swapping jobs. I'm going across there. He's coming in with you guys.
Come on, in case
Come
somebody
on.
Doesn't think
no,
that's
my wife
true.
Is my beautiful wife Tiff is pregnant, yeah. So we are.
Yay.
It's a fair. Thank you. We're very, very excited. We're very, very nervous. I'm so nervous. I don't
why
know
why are you
I'm
nervous?
So, I don't know. I'm
just, you are.
I'm,
you just yeah, have to I'm go to nervous. Work every day, mate.
What are you nervous about? Are you nervous about being a dad?
No, I'm not that nervous about that. I'm nervous about like her. You know, because she's. I'm always just sort of like standing, sort of close to her. If in case she sort of like falls off the couch or like just roll or just like
she's a seventh trips Dan, up a stair. She's a isn't she a seventh yeah, Dan,
a
black,
Dan
belt.
Black belt
yeah,
yeah I know,
sixth
I know.
Dan
Look,
sorry shouldn't
I know mate talking. But I just you can't help it you just sort of become very like you know aware and of your wife I always am but where she is and how she's going
that's lovely and, though to be protective of her mind you I reckon she could pretty much take care of herself but it's very nice
yeah,
that you
go away.
Is she crook.
Yes. Yeah, she. Oh man, she's got terrible morning sickness. She's got really bad morning sickness, and it stays throughout the day a lot of the time.
Oh, that's the worst thing. If it was only morning, you'd get
they
home
lie,
and everything's
mate.
Better.
I know, mate. I know. And she started to crave. Like she's got cravings that she's never had before. The other day, she was 3 a.m. I was about to get up for work, and she nudge. I go, yes, darling.
Oh,
nudge. I go, yeah, sweetheart. What is it? And she just goes, oh, I need some toast. I said, what? It's 3 a.m. She goes, yeah, I need some toast. I said, okay, well, there's only two problems with that. We don't have any bread or a toaster.
You so do wraps to go, your whole
we've
life.
We've never had a tomato. We never eat bread.
I know,
or toast.
You eat wraps every time.
But
not
I,
even.
I do find it interesting, and we were having this conversation earlier about Foxtel and coming into the 21st century, but you yeah. have made this announcement across the weekend on Instagram. Mm.
Yeah, well, it was funny actually because it was sort of partnered up a little bit with Tiff's program, TiffXO.com, you know, the fitness program she has online. Because some of the videos which are about to come out for the new program, the Feb program, you can still sign up, works wonders.
What is it called?
TiffXO.com. She's showing, Robert, even though she's very, it's quite early on, she's showing.
Of like course
she's
got, she is. Have you seen her abs? Well, of course you have. But,
yeah.
You know, she's so fit that for a little baby to start growing, yeah. it needs to push.
Yeah, yeah.
It needs room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And We went to the obstetrician and we had an ultrasound and he says he turns to my wife and he's looking in the tummy and you know, there's like a little sack with the baby in it and he
yeah.
turns to my wife Tiff and says, oh, that's great. You've got a nice healthy sack. And I said, well, that makes two of us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did he see the humour?
Yeah, he loved it. He loved it. He's heard the sack joke before.
Gynos have heard every joke, right?
He loved it. It's a bit funny. But yeah, that was so. It was all sort of part of that.
It's so good.
So anyway, it was a way of sort of saying things.
You are adorable. You are so downplaying this. You're like that either says to me that you don't want the attention on you, or you're completely freaked out by the whole process.
It's probably a little bit of both.
But blokes downplay it because it's not actually in us. Like we can go about our normal life.
Well, so I'm very, very excited, very nervous. But you're right. The announcement thing was kind of Tiff and I sort of spoke about it, and she sort of wanted to do it that way. And I said, okay, no worries. Let's do that. So you know,
don't you reckon girls play it up a lot? Oh, obviously they do because they're heavily involved. It's
what
you know,
growing life.
Yeah,
heavily involved.
Well,
heavily involved.
What do you say?
But
girls,
know.
No,
like
when
they're a halfback,
it's like being a winger or a front rower. Are you actually doing all the work, or are you just carrying on the coattails?
Are you saying that I'm Willie Khan and my wife is Martin Bella?
That's exactly right.
I don't think that'll go down well, mate.
Can we go back to it being lovely? In fact, you are the first people that I've ever seen a pregnancy announced on Instagram.
Yeah, I've seen
a couple on Facebook, but I would love to know, how did you announce your big news?
Some people have used the phrase, we are pregnant. I keep trying to enforce that I'm not. Tiffy's pregnant, and that is wonderful, but as a two-person, we are not pregnant.
I like your style, Robin.
Where do you stand on that?
Oh, mate, I'm with you. That drives me absolutely insane. Well,
She's done it once. She did it once in the thing that she was saying. I said, no, doll, I'm not pregnant. You are. Mm. We are a couple, but you are the pregnant
Please
one.
Don't tell me when you put the Instagram post up over the weekend that that was how your actual family members found out.
Well, it's okay. So there was a couple who I really hadn't told many people at all before that moment, and so there were people who found out that way. But what are you going to do now? What are you going to do in the modern world? What are you going to do? Make 40 phone calls? I don't know, Marto. What do you do?
Well, that was the old days. But the problem is what you just said. You tell a couple and you tell them, don't tell anyone. Inevitably, they go around blabbing their way through. You know, they go, Oh, and another thing.
Well, that's
people
what
run
happened.
Out of something to tell
Hang
someone.
On. That's what happened to Becky of Carindale. What went down, Becky?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good.
What actually happened was I was probably about, I think, 6 or 7 weeks pregnant with my first daughter.
Yeah.
And I told my parents, and my mum told her sister, who told her daughter, who told her husband.
Okay.
My Facebook page made a crude joke about doggy style and told me I was having a puppy.
Oh my god.
Okay. What did you do? There's nothing you can do. When the news is out there, it's out there.
Yeah, pretty much. But I kind of fixed it with my second daughter. I didn't tell anybody until she arrived.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, some people might have thought there was something odd about that. But
a thumbs up with a woof woof would have been funny.
So, Ed, have you thought about names? Because that's the other great conversation. And sex, are you going to find out the sex and therefore what the name's going to be?
Yes, that's right. We are going to find out. But we've already got a short list. And this is something I actually do want to talk about tomorrow, because my illustrious father-in-law, 8th Dan Black Belt, and just one of the great surfers, Marto, he's just a wonderful surfer.
I know.
And he's just What a handsome man.
I look forward to every
60.
Time I see a video. I mean, when you send one, I go, my God, that's pro
Robin,
level.
Just so you know, I have to do that. Otherwise, he puts me in wrist
locks.
But hold
on. So, in terms of names, your last name has got three syllables. See,
Cavalier.
His last name has one syllable. It's a totally different issue what goes on the front of those two names.
He said to us, and Robin, because he teaches taekwondo, he's got 30 kids in his class. He has 6 classes a day. And he said something really interesting. He said, give it a normal name. I said, what do you mean normal? He goes, something easy to remember. I said, why is that? And he goes, because when I look around the class and there's 30 kids there and I want to pick one out to say good job or come up here and do something, I always go for the ones whose names are easier to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Which is real. And I wouldn't mind talking about that maybe with teachers tomorrow. So I was like, great, I got that in mind. So here's our short list. Ready?
Yeah.
Go on.
If it's a girl, we're thinking Jay Lagaya. And if it's a boy, we're thinking Zipporah or Caitlin.
Wow.
Zipporah. Zipporah. Finally, someone will know how to not pronounce the T.
Little Zipporah Cavalli. Can't wait.
What a name.
Congratulations, brother. We love you both, and that's great news.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey, what are our thoughts about this modern issue that's these guys, and it's not just one, these guys who paid their $59.99 from Foxtel on Friday night for the Mundine Green fight and then shared it on Facebook?
What, streamed it live?
Streamed it. Well, they just shared it. They didn't stream it live. They just had the phone on. That's what that guy, was his name Darren? He said, I just had my phone on in the lounge room and the fight was on it.
Yes.
Like, that's going to be his rock-solid defence. Foxtel are going, it's stealing, and we're not going to let you get away with it. There's a bloke out at Longreach. I hadn't seen this story until today. Bloke at Longreach did it for his mates because he's got roo shooters. He said, I had roo shooter mates who don't have TVs. I've got mates working in the mines, don't have TVs. So I helped them watch it on their phone.
So the,
is it right or wrong?
There was over, they're claiming that, well, I've seen numbers of over a couple of 100,000 people that have actually tuned in.
Did they really? Was it really that, you know, that's like somebody's, oh, I've got this many Instagram followers and stuff.
I know.
Are you really?
I know, mate. That's why I say that I've read figures. I don't, so I'm not quoting them as real. I'm just saying that that's what I saw. So my initial reaction when I saw it, your first reaction is, ha, that's fun. Good on him. That's a bit of fun.
Yes.
And then you think about it and you and I, you much more than me, but you and I both work for pay TV outlets that have live sport.
You see, the boss of Foxtel yesterday came out and said, we spend $900 million every year buying live sport, and it's our content, we own it, and we employ thousands and thousands of people, and that's what we're trying to protect. Because first up, I went, I care. Just get into it. It's a fight. Somebody paid for it somewhere. What's the difference between that and going to a pub that paid their big money for the fight?
Well, that's the there's a huge difference because the pub pays money because they know. You've got to remember, I used to sit at Fox Sports. I used to sit next to one of the guys that was the heads of the people who put the fights into pubs.
Oh,
and
they charge heaps.
He had a couple of sort of posters and things around his office, and one of the posters he had was of a Mundine and Green fight from years and years ago.
The first one?
Yeah, and I said, oh, mate, that's an old poster. And he goes, mate, that was one of the greats. That was so popular and so many pubs took it up. And then you think about, well, if you're at the pub, you're going to buy a beer. You're going to go and you're going to maybe have a meal. You know, that's the economy, Marto. I mean, someone has to.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me ask this question, particularly of you, Ed, because you have been and made movies. Do you think it's okay then to pirate?
And that's when it kicks in, Robin. That's when the other side of me kicks in as well, as I go, I've had friends that he released a film and it didn't do very well at the box office.
Yeah.
And then he found out that it was the number two most stolen piece of entertainment that week. Number one was Game of Thrones.
What?
Number two was his film.
You have to tell us which one it is now.
It's Josh's movie, The Little Death. It's Josh Lawson, the guy's playing Hoax.
Now, and more of it's going to get stolen because you did that.
So was he out of pocket? Like, now you know a real live experience.
He paid for the movie to get made and people pirated it.
Of course.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He lost money.
Yeah. And that's got a knock-on effect of the next time that he wants to make something, et cetera, et cetera. It's got piracy. If you think piracy is a victimless crime, well, they're just big studios. And I've spoken about this before. No, it isn't a victimless crime, but I can understand the argument where people see a large corporation and go, like, this. People kept saying,
they can afford it.
That's right. I'm sticking it to Rupert Murdoch. And you go, well, how do you argue with that? So, what do you reckon? You reckon he was in the right doing it? Maybe you saw the stream. If you saw the stream, let us know. Maybe you streamed other things. Every time there's a game of Premier League football or anything else, Marto, there's always people advertising, oh, I've got a stream of it, I've got a this of it, I've got a that of it.
Well, hold on. What is right or wrong, guys? Are you allowed to say on radio if you ever bought a movie in the markets there in Bali and you come home?
Get him.
No, that's it. Oh.
I'm not saying I have.
They're coming for you, mate.
Did you pay for that Dante's Pizza? Or is that
when I paid the guy at the markets, I figured he was sorting someone out.
Yeah, you figured he was the head of Warner Brothers, did you? Yeah, in his Bintang singlet, did you?
I don't know.
All right, what do you reckon? Okay, so what do you think about this live stream?
What's wrong?
Look, Richard's called straight away. Richard. Mate, did you see this live stream? Did you get on the live stream, the illegal stream, did you, buddy?
I did, mate, on Facebook, yep.
And what do you reckon? You're obviously okay with it.
Well, look, I don't have Foxtel, so the only other way for me to watch it is to go to a pub. So rather than do that, I just happened to be on Facebook and saw the live stream. And, yeah, when I was watching it, there was 118,000 people in the top corner that were streaming that.
Richard, if this bloke, let's say this bloke gets sued, which they're talking about doing, where they're talking about suing Facebook and him. Let's say there's a $80,000 fine. Would you throw in $5 to help him, $10? Because he's got a GoFundMe page.
Oh, yeah, why not? I mean, I would have been happy to pay Foxtel $10 if they were going to stream it for people that don't have Foxtel.
Mm. Ah. You brought up another very interesting point, Richard. Yeah.
Richard brought up the point that Foxtel started this.
Yes.
They're stealing $60. $60 is too much. That's theft. Mm-hmm. That's what people are claiming. If, okay. And Richard set the market at $10. That's what he would have paid.
133353. Where do you stand on this? Do you think it's stealing to watch these illegal streams, or do you think it's fair enough if you can't get access to it in a normal way, or if you think it's too expensive? Adrian from Brendale, what do you think, mate? What happened with you and the fight? Do you think he's wrong for streaming it?
Mate, no. Look, I don't think he is. To some degree, we weren't going to watch it because we had no way of watching. We don't have Foxtel, and they didn't offer a one-off. And, my young fellow loves his boxing too, but being 17, that put the pub out of the question.
Okay,
so when we found out it was getting streamed, we thought, let's watch it online.
Adrian, what's your price? What price would you have paid if they put it on your phone?
Mate, I would have easily paid the 8, 10, 15, 20 bucks.
That seems to be it, but $60 is too much.
Greg. That's Adrian. Yeah, Greg. Sorry, Robin. Greg's from Ipswich. Greg, what do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, g'day, mate. Basically, what he's done is he's invited that many people into his lounge room. So what the problem with pay TV in Australia is we've got to pay for the pay TV, but then if we want to watch anything good, you have to pay on top. Look at something like Game of Thrones, where the worst country in the world for downloading that, because you've got to pay $50 a month for Foxtel, but then you've got to pay, $20 on top of that a month just to get a premium package.
It's a really interesting point, Greg. I think you've put two things together there which are absolutely correct.
Might be a game changer, Ed.
Well, we are the biggest downloaders of Game of Thrones, and Greg is exactly right. That is why. I think that's a really interesting point.
Fiona of Dara, what do you think about all the streaming live?
Yeah, look, I think it's not really as much of an issue as they want to make it out to be. I have to stream all my Major League Baseball games because even though I have Foxtel Sports Pack and stuff, a lot of the games that I want to watch, they don't actually stream at all.
Fiona, I think Ed has the same thing with EPL this year when Optus grabbed hold of it.
Well, I got lucky because my phone was with Optus, so I got to have it it became as part of my subscription. But I've got friends, exactly like Fiona, I've got friends that don't have Optus.
And they're
Liverpool fans, Chelsea fans, and exactly like Fiona, they're like, no, I don't have a choice. I've got to go find a stream. And that's just the way it is. If I want to watch, I got to find a stream.
It kind of feels like they need to come into the 21st century. You know, this is the way everyone is operating.
Can you imagine the meetings there'll be today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
85% of the calls reckon it's okay. So we need to get these people on the jury. That's what we need to do.
You're right. If when he goes to court, if there's 12 people just looking down at their phone and occasionally going, yes, then he should be absolutely fine.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Quade Cooper is one of my favourite footballers, of course. Been commentating him for years and he's back at the Reds and it offers great hope for Queensland Reds fan. Amazingly, Friday night, as part of his contract, he was allowed to go and fight on the undercard to Danny Green and the machine and the man. Mm-hmm. And we laughed about it on Friday. We said, hey, look at the weigh-in. Look at the little bloke he's fighting against. Mm-hmm. And the whole of Australia tried to poke some fun at him. But Friday night, they fronted up and Quade won in a couple of rounds. But Ed, you said you heard a story.
Well, I had some mates that were at the fight and I caught up with them when they got back and I was chatting to them and they said, oh, yeah, we went to the fight, you know, Mundine and Green, and it was really big in that. I said, oh, how is the, and before I could finish it, he goes, the Quade Cooper fight against that young bloke, Jack. I said, yeah. He goes, mate, we actually met Jack after the fight. What a champion.
Yeah.
And he said that when they were there in the stadium, everyone was getting behind Jack. Everyone was pumped up at
Queenslander.
This young man's courage in jumping up and getting into the ring. And he joins us on the line, Jack McGuinness. Good morning, mate.
What?
Are you there, Jackie?
Yeah, I'm here.
How did you get involved in this, Jack? You're an apprentice plasterer. You're living up at Hervey Bay. Who got you in?
Oh, I'm originally from far north Queensland, from Cooktown.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Right, okay. And how
I got into the fighting is because I was getting bullied at school.
Okay.
And I was getting bashed and, yeah.
Oh,
so wow. I decided to go and start a bit of training and try and defend myself.
Good one. Yeah. That's how Jeff Horn got into it too.
That's very true. And Jack, I'm looking here and, you know, people don't know this about you, but you've had, what, over 50 fights in kickboxing, Muay Thai and MMA and boxing before this one with Quade.
Yes, yes.
So you've got a lot of experience, mate.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fights for a young age too.
Right.
Did you know who Quade Cooper was before you met him and, you know, had the weigh-in and everything? Were you fearful?
Watching rugby union, I knew who Quade was.
Yeah.
But when I got asked to fight Quade, I never knew. It never clicked to me who he was. I didn't know how to say his name, so I was like, I'd text my partner. I was like, "Who's Quad Cooper?"
That's good smack talk, Jack. You should have used that in the weigh-in, mate. That's good smack talk.
Yeah. Who has a first name starting with Q anyway? Good point, Jack.
So how did you end up playing him? Like, who made that decision to put you in the ring with Quade Cooper?
Well, his trainers text me because they couldn't find no one.
Yeah.
And I fought on a few big shows in Brisbane, and promoters gave Quade's trainers my number.
Righto, there we go. They go, "Yeah, we know a bloke, puts up a good fight. Here he is, young Jack." So, Jack, you've got a family. You're a young bloke, but you've already got a how old's your little boy?
2.5 years old.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
Okay. So I'm imagining the purse that you got from this fight with Quade, that's, you know, you're making extra money for your family because you're on an apprentice wage.
Yeah. Yep.
See, that's great, Marto. See, but that's
how
toughness.
Was the night though? Like, I didn't watch the fight because I didn't pay my $60, and I'm not a mate of that Darren bloke. I couldn't get on his Facebook. What did you think of that? Did you hear about that, Jack?
No.
Oh, there was a bloke who didn't, you know, paid his $60 and just shared it with all his friends. But, hey, listen, on the actual night, what was it like in there with Quade?
Oh, it was an experience to go and do something like that against Quade.
Did you get hurt very much?
Nah. As you can see, I was being a bit of a smart ass and falling out his punches. And
It was a great show. Hey, Jack, do you remember afterwards, after the fight, because I had some mates that were there, they said that they turned around after your fight and you were just standing there down in amongst the crowd with a tinny.
Yeah, I was.
Having a chat
to people, getting selfies.
Yeah. The best one was my partner seeing Hamish and Andy.
Yes.
And yes. So we decided to walk over because my partner wanted to have a photo with him.
Yeah.
Decided to walk over and Hamish looks up and he's like, "Oh, my God, Jack. Yeah. Then my partner got pushed out of the road and they all got selfies with me.
Oh,
Jack. Jack, I got to come clean. It was Andy that told me that story. I saw him on Saturday night, funny. And he was the one that told me the story about you. So, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, there you go. He told me that they absolutely loved meeting you. That was a real highlight.
Oh, that's
all right,
best.
Jack. Mate, what's next for you, mate? Who are you fighting next? Pacquiao?
No. At the moment, I'm going to have the rest of the year off. Due to injuries and work.
Yep.
But by that time, I'll get my head around everything and I'll start training back up again.
Oh, so this isn't retirement. This is just a short break.
Just a short break.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. The fight game needs you, Jack.
Yeah. All right, Jack McGuinness, the 22-year-old bloke that fought Quade Cooper on Friday night. You're a champ, buddy. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
If you missed it earlier on, we were talking about a story in the paper today about Ascot State School. There's people queuing up and have been since Saturday morning to try to get apparently enrolments or something open. And we just didn't get it.
No,
we
don't understand why.
Why do you queue up? There's eight families there. Some of them getting paid. Some of them got nannies. Paying nannies to sit there and save so they can get into Ascot State School. Moina from Ipswich rang up and said, it's probably because I said, why would a woman from Warner be sitting outside Ascot State School trying to get her kids in there? She's saying she probably works nearby and therefore it makes it easier for after school and everything else.
They do that at Ironside State School because of UQ.
Ah, righto. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because if you're work at the uni, you'll be able to drop and pick up on the way through.
Pick them up.
Okay, now that makes sense. Have you ever queued for anything? You wouldn't have queued for anything, Lotto.
I've never in my whole life wanted to go to anything that badly. But while the news is on, you just told me a beauty. What was it?
Actually, my family have a bit of a history of queuing. I queued in 1986, I think it was, for when Queen was going to be playing their concert at the Sydney Entertainment Centre.
Oh, good Lord.
And I just had to see Freddie Mercury. And he didn't disappoint either. Like,
was
it was
this
amazing.
To buy the tickets?
Yeah.
Overnighter with your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. And I had to beg my mum to give me all my birthday and Christmas money. So, because he came, he didn't come. My birthday's in November and obviously Christmas. And I think he was like in June, July. So I was saying, no, my future birthday.
What a nightmare queue that would have been, though.
No
7-Eleven. Like, you can't go and get yourself a drink or something to eat.
No,
and no mobile phones.
It was so fun.
What did you do? You have your cassette player?
I don't know. It was me and a couple of girlfriends. We only brought like a cushion each, which was slightly ridiculous because we were there for hours and hours and hours.
In the middle of winter.
But it was fun. It was fun. It was just, and my mum, how's this? How bad's this? She queued, and my mum's 81 now, but she queued outside Lord's for 2 days to see Don Bradman in his final test, and he got out for a duck.
Oh, wow.
A little Aussie girl in Britain, and she just happened to be there with her family, and it was like, whoops.
Was it worth it for you? Freddie Mercury?
Man, when Freddie Mercury came out into the crowd saying, "I want to break free," dressed as a housewife.
Oh, that's
in
that's
heels,
funny.
And it was funny. Awesome.
That's funny.
Loved it.
I wonder what his girlfriend made of that performance. So, 133353.
I don't think anyone can beat that.
What have you done the long queue for, and was it worth it? What have you queued up for? You had to stand there.
I feel really sorry now that my children don't have that, because online is so full on, and you can buy stuff, and you know. But you know that whole rite of passage of queuing for
Origin tickets. You have to be there in person at one window. Imagine the great queue that'd be.
That would be awesome.
Rachel from Arana Hills, what did you queue for, Rach?
Donut Time had a grand opening, so they were giving away free donuts. So I waited for 2.5 hours with 2 toddlers and I was 7 months pregnant, and it was stinking hot.
Oh, my God.
And was it worth it, Rach? Was it worth it for the donut?
It was most definitely worth it, because they gave us 3, because they gave me 1 each for the kids as well.
For 3 donuts. How many hours were you there for 3 donuts, do you reckon?
Oh, 2.5 hours. It's ridiculous.
So listen, it's about a donut an hour. Okay, Rach.
I'm with you, Rach. I'd probably do that too. If it's a good donut, it's worth
come
it.
On. That's crazy. That's good on you, Rach.
Kristen, you're out of McDowell. When did you queue up?
Back in the 80s for U2, it was a Rattlin' Hum concert out at the Entertainment Centre. We parked the car in front of the gates because we heard the ticket price, tickets would go on sale there earlier than everywhere else.
Yeah.
But we all fell asleep in the car. Next thing we know, we wake up and all these cars are driving past us into the entertainment centre.
Oh, no.
So we did make it. We got tickets up the back a bit, but we got tickets.
Oh, that would have been devastating if you slipped through it.
You should have had someone who was awake, you know, taking in turns.
Oh, that's fun.
Have you seen any of the American detective movies? There's always somebody has to have donut and coffee on them.
That's
John
funny.
Of
John
Ashgrove.
Yeah, Johnny from Ashgrove. What did you queue up for, buddy?
Oh, something very important, mate. Forget everything else. It was to watch Brisbane Lions win their first flag. You know,
the grand final. Yeah. So when did you start lining up for that?
Well, we lined up before the game finished.
What, the preliminary final before they got into the final?
We had to win the last game to get into the final.
And where'd you go down to the office there at the Gabba?
Yeah. Yep, just line up, and then the elation of it, you know, hearing the boos and the cheers, because we didn't know, but we took the gamble that we would get tickets.
Yeah,
amazing. But to go and watch them win their first flag, man, that was worth it.
So you got in, and it was worth it.
Oh, totally, guys. Totally.
How many people, were you one of the first in the queue that didn't exist until
there would have been hundreds. Because you imagine that time of year, you know, there was 30,000 at the Gabba, you know, 35, or, you know, it was probably a full house. And so it was so funny, everyone left the game to go line up and the game was still going.
prelim final was on at the Gabba, so you walked outside, pretended you go to the toilet and went to the queue. God.
It was classic, man, but it was well worth it to get to see that game, that's for sure.
Sure. There you go, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. Robin from Wynnum. Robin, what did you line up for?
9 years ago, I lined up for my son for a big day out concert in the city at the ticket office.
I used to do that.
And I lined up for 4 hours in a stinking heat.
Yes.
And I was the oldest one in the crowd. They were all kids.
How was the big day out?
Well, I didn't go. It's for my son.
Okay, I thought you were a big System of a Down fan.
So why did you do that for him?
Why do you do this for your kids?
No, fair call. I just wondered if there was some sort of bribery going on.
What were the combos like in the line, Robin, with all the other kids?
Oh, the kids were there. I was, talking to them, and they had taken days off school and uni and whatever to line up. It was so hot, and about an hour before I actually got into the place to get the tickets, I was dying to go to the loo, dying to have a drink, but I thought, nah, can't do it. I've got to stay on this queue.
Oh, geez, you're a good woman.
You are a good mum.
All mothers are. Yeah. This is what we do.
I bet you he's let you down a few times, hadn't he, Robin?
Yeah.
Just remind him of those big day out tickets. That's all I'm saying. You can keep using that one for decades.
I have been, Robin. I have been.
President Trump, guys, it is a new world order with President Trump. What has he had, 2 weeks in office? And he's certainly come out swinging with that pen of his. He keeps signing orders and then sort of showing them to the camera like, look at this, look at this.
Look what I've done.
Look at this, look what I did.
Spelled it right again.
So everyone's scrambling to try and go, what do we know about him? What is this, what are we that? But there's a guy, former ABC Washington correspondent. You want to talk about journalists? This is your proper journalist. Michael Brissenden, who's got a Four Corners of the on Four Corners, which starts tonight. It's called A Hell of a Ride. The Trump Revolution Begins. And Michael's actually been over there speaking to key members of the Trump administration to find out what on earth is this guy like when he's trying to make decisions and behind the scenes. And he joins us now. G'day, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good. How are those Trump people? What are they like?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Look, some of them are obviously very committed. The people that we've spoken to have known Donald Trump for a very long time. One of the main people we spoke to is a guy called Michael Caputo, who's got a very colourful past himself. He's worked for everybody, for the Kremlin, to all sorts of... he's worked in Central America and advising anti-communists and all sorts of stuff. But look, he's a colourful guy, but he's been very close to Donald Trump. He ran his New York primary campaign, and he was part of the campaign itself. And he just says, look, this is going to be episodic. This is one of the few times in American history where everything will change. And he says he doesn't think everything has changed in America because of a presidential election since the 19th century. I think we're starting to see that. That is certainly the expectation that those who support him have, that he is going to turn the place upside down. And, that's what he's doing.
How close were you able to get to them, Michael? Was there any paranoia?
Look, there's a lot of paranoia among a lot of other people. Let's just say this. Washington is a sort of an establishment town. There's a lot of lobbyists, there's a lot of political spinners, there's a lot of people who've basically used to the way things are always done in Washington. They make a living out of it. A lot of very well-connected Republicans who make a living there, they are sitting back and going, what the hell is going on? Because none of them know how to deal with this.
But what about his nepotism? The fact that he has his daughter in this high-profile place and he's bringing all his kind of his people into the space.
And also, this president has, 2 days after he was inaugurated, a suit was filed against him for basically breaching the Constitution because of not just his nepotism and not just bringing people into the office, but also his business interests, which present an enormous challenge to the way politics is done and has been done in America. I mean, he owns numerous businesses in America and around the world, and many people are now saying, how do we read his actions? Are his actions in the best interests of America or are they best interests of his business? When he sends troops overseas, are they there to defend a Trump golf course or are they there to, in America's interests? So these are big questions that people are asking.
So we're talking to Michael Brissenden, former ABC Washington correspondent, who's gone out and done some genuine reporting, not just retweeted Katy Perry about Donald Trump. And it's on the ABC tonight as part of Four Corners for A Hell of a Ride, the Trump Revolution. Marto, Robin, one more before we let Michael get back to his
biz. Michael, what's the biggest revelation you can give us from tonight's show?
Look, I'm not sure we're really going to tell anyone anything that they don't really know, although it has to be said the people I've spoken to about Australia's relationship with the US are very concerned. I mean, one of the people I spoke to who was a security advisor for George W. Bush, very well-connected Republican, says Australia should use the channels that we have, the relationships we have, to try and protect that relationship. But ultimately, we're going to have to make some hard decisions about how we deal with America and what our relationship is.
This is amazing.
If America particularly what they're concerned about is America partnering with Russia in the Middle East. And if that happens, that's a totally new military alliance, and Australia and all the other partners are going to have to rethink their position about how they support the Middle East conflict.
The world is a-changing. Michael Brisson, and former ABC Washington correspondent, on Four Corners, starts tonight. A hell of a ride, the Trump revolution. He's gone and spoken to major players behind the scenes. If you want to be actually informed about what's going on, I would suggest watching this program. Pleasure, Michael. Thanks again, mate.
Good on you. Thanks for talking to me.
It is my high honor and distinct privilege to introduce to you the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
So honoured to be speaking to you, Mr. Trump. You're such a busy man. But did you hear our interview we just did with the ABC Journo that's going to be
I heard it. You got a communist on from the communist ABC? Oh, what a shocker. He doesn't like Donald Trump. Well, the next time he's at a Greens meeting, cozying up to Bob Brown or Penny Wong or one of those other lesbians, give us a call and I'll tell him what a real man sounds like. What a joke!
Okay. Mr. Trump, let's get into joyous matters.
You're the first person I deport when the audio, by the way, Australia's on my list. Yeah. My travel ban list. Australia just made it. Great job, ABC. All you're going to have left is gardening Australia. Sir. I hope you like your petunias.
Sir, the Super Bowl, it's about America. It's today. Who are you going for?
Ah, what a wonderful question. The Patriots. Me and Tom Brady have so much in common. Oh. We're both handsome guys married to supermodels. And we both suffered from Deflategate. Him with footballs and me, well, with my Deflategate, I get a little blue pill to fix it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, those little hands of yours.
You've got to be thinking about security, Mr. Trump. Is it doubled because you're going to the game? Are you worried you could be a target?
What? No. There's no way I'm going to get assassinated. All the nutbags with guns voted for me. They're my friends. And even if I get shot in the head, my helmet will protect me.
What? Your helmet?
On my head. I wear it all the time. You think that's hair up there, you idiot? It's a Kevlar helmet that I strap a dead possum on top of, and then I spray paint it orange. It's a trick I learned from Pauline Hanson and Julia Gillard. The main thing today, and I want everyone to remember this as you watch the Super Bowl, the main thing is that the billionaire white guys that own the teams have a good time and get slightly richer.
Which, they're your friends, aren't they?
Oh, my God, they're my friends. If you're old and if you got $1 billion and a wife that was born in the 90s, I'm your friend. Get lost.
Enjoy the game, sir.
Well, it's on this morning, our time. It is the biggest game in the American domestic calendar of any type. It is the Super Bowl. You can see it here on ESPN. And from ESPN National Afternoon Show, Freddie and Fritz. Freddie Coleman, happy Super Bowl Day to you. How are you feeling?
And happy Super Bowl Day to everybody down in Australia. And we are doing well, my friends. How are you guys doing?
Good, Freddie. Can you give us what I describe as the dummy's guide for anyone who doesn't know what they should be watching today? What's going to pan out?
Well, I don't know if there's a dummy's guide, no matter if you're watching the Super Bowl. I prefer to call it an instructional guide. And I think the one thing, no matter if you know the game or don't know the game, is that you can expect a lot of points to be scored, expect a lot of touchdowns because both of these teams have exciting offenses that move the ball up and down the field. So if you're expecting a lot of defense where there won't be points scored, no, expect a lot of points to be scored today. That would be the dummy's instructional guide to what you're going to see today.
That's great.
Okay, tell me about the two teams playing.
One thing about the New England Patriots, even though a lot of people know them in the country and outside of the United States, they have a chance to go for history because no quarterback has ever won 5 championships, and that's what Tom Brady is trying to do because he, Joe Montana, and Terry Bradshaw are the only 3 quarterbacks that have 4 Super Bowl championships. But on the other side, the Atlanta Falcons, they're really a Johnny-come-lately in which they have the most valuable player of the league this season and quarterback Matt Ryan. But they have a lot of young, fast, exciting guys to watch on both sides of the football. So the New England Patriots, they have all the momentum in terms of attention, in terms of notoriety coming into this game. But don't sleep on the Atlanta Falcons. They are not going to make it easy on the Patriots if the Patriots are going to win today.
Talking to Freddie Coleman from ESPN National Afternoon Show, Freddie and Fritz, about the Super Bowl today. And, Freddie, I'm intrigued about the situation. So Tom Brady gets suspended for Deflategate, and he wouldn't hand over his phone. The NFL's famous for the amount of leaks that they have for in their organization. So if the guy that banned him, Roger Goodell, if they win today, he's going to have to hand Tom Brady that trophy, is he not?
Yeah, and how delicious is that going to be?
That's delicious.
If that happens. I mean, Roger Goodell, Roger Goodell is public enemy number one with a lot of fans, and not just Patriots fans. A lot of football fans look at him and say, you're the guy that's ruining our game. So can you imagine what the narrative is going to be where the Patriots win that championship, they get their fifth one in the history of their organization, and the two guys who have been antagonists against each other in Roger Goodell and Tom Brady, and he has to hand over not over a championship trophy, but maybe a most valuable player trophy for the Super Bowl. You can't write a better script or soap opera if that is going to happen today. I hope it does happen just to see the look on both of their faces if it does come about.
Hey, Freddie, can you tell us the other great story is about Matt Ryan, who's the quarterback for the Falcons. Now, he grew up as being mentored by Tom Brady in Boston.
Oh, absolutely. He looked up to him, and he and Tom Brady, they've had many conversations. And as a matter of fact, Tom Brady even said that Matt Ryan and him, they talk at least 2-3 times a week in terms of texting or having any kind of conversation. So it was really, I mean, for example, you couldn't have the top two Australian rules footballers together the night before a big game.
They're normally in a strip club together, the two footballers in Australia before a big game. That's how it works down here. But you're right, that is incredible.
Tom Brady and Matt Ryan in a strip club together the night before a Super Bowl, that would be a story. I would pay to have that kind of story.
He's married to Giselle, for goodness sake. No, why would he want to be?
No, I know. All right, Freddie Coleman from ESPN, National Afternoon Show, Freddie and Fritz. We can't wait. It's on ESPN this morning from 9 a.m. It goes till about 3:30 in the afternoon, so there's plenty of time to catch it. Freddie, have a great day, mate. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Anytime. I can't wait to talk to you guys again soon.
God, I'm proud of the Australia I saw on the weekend.
Like, really? Why?
Women's sport, in particular, two things. I was down at the Rugby Sevens in Sydney, the World Series, and our girls, our Golden Girls from Rio. The joy, and there was seven other teams. They played in their own little tournament as well that was attached with the team.
Did we win?
No, we came fourth. That didn't matter. It didn't matter. They were disappointed. But then I saw how much people loved those Golden Girls from the Olympics, our sevens team. And I saw the joy with which they all played. They were tackling. I had my doubts about women playing footy and all the rest of it. And then I turn on the TV and I watch the women's AFL. The joy that those girls had. Just it being given a chance to have a go and the appreciation. I love how our society's just accepted it and said, this is fabulous. Get stuck into it, girls.
It was massive. There were 20-something thousand at the first game for the women's AFL. There was another. It was basically full houses all.
They had to turn people away. The police shut the doors because they wouldn't. They couldn't
fit anymore
in. And
that's Melbourne. And that's fabulous.
Wonderful.
But I want to talk about the joy. The girls wanted to do it, and they've been shut down forever, and they've given a chance to show their happiness and everything else. I love the fact that girls are doing any bloody thing these days, like the girl tradies. You go to the hardware now, and never before, it used to be you'd go, whew, what's a chick doing in here?
Oh, but Bunnings. Now, I seek out the chicks at Bunnings because they can talk to me in a language language that I understand.
But I mean girls buying things. It's now every single time you go to a hardware, wherever it is, there's a chick in there who's a trades girl. It's incredible.
Well, I used to, I live at the airport and I see a lot of high-vis, what I call high-vis ladies, where there's, because they're the flying people all around the place.
Yeah.
And people just end up in their high-vis in the airport because they've just got to go from where they're going. And I've seen so many more high-vis ladies over the last 2 or 3 years, I reckon.
How do you reckon they go, like moving into a boy's world? Like if it's footballers,
it's
if it's girls going into a men's job, a traditional
really
men's job.
For the first time ever in 2016, there was an all-female crew on the Royal Brunei airline. So they, not just the hosties, but
you mean
all
the captains.
The captain
and the offsider.
The first time ever. And there's only 3% of pilots are women, commercial pilots.
Jesus.
So you think about that's a really engineers is another one. I think there's only sort of 10 or 15%, although it's increasing now as more girls are going into engineering.
Well, let's speak to some. Are you a lady who is doing, I guess, what is would have been traditionally known as a predominantly male job?
And how are you going?
Yeah, and how's it going?
I worry about them strength-wise. Well, let's get to a couple of callers. But strength-wise, especially if you're carrying beams, like we used to do a lot of renos and we were carrying a lot of really heavy stuff. I'm not sure how they cope with that, but I don't have a worry at all with it.
Talking to some ladies who are doing what traditionally perhaps were more male-dominated jobs, Emily from Morayfield. Em, what do you do?
Hi, I'm actually a painter, a house painter.
Ah, now is there many, do you know many other ladies that are house painters, Em?
No, I actually don't know many at all.
I reckon that's a great job for a girl, though, because it requires a lot of patience, a steadiness, and care.
Yeah, it definitely does, and it's also a lot of hard work, too.
Bloody oath.
How did you get into it, Emily?
Well, I was actually a florist for 6 years, and my mum told me, how about a career change? Why don't you become a tradie? And so I did.
How do you go with the attitude of blokes in the industry?
Oh, look, they're all fantastic. I've been on a few construction sites, and all the blokes are always really just supportive and really excited to have a different sort of person on the site and everything. It's really great.
The toilet sometimes a worry, Emily.
I'd usually go up the road to maybe a corner store or something.
Good girl. Yeah. A McWee, I think they call it.
Thank you, Emily. And Sam of Woodford.
Now, hey, how are you?
Hey, good. Where do you work?
I work in a warehouse. I spoke to you last week. I'm the dud sibling.
Oh, yeah. G'day. Yes, g'day, Sam. How are you? You're not the dud sibling. You've had two chances on the radio. You're winning here. Now, how many other women are there in your warehouse?
None. Oh, actually, my partner does the computer work. But,
okay.
I'm the one that works out in the warehouse on the floor, driving the forklift.
Yeah,
we have a boss who he sort of puts up the money and he's there to do the paperwork, but he doesn't really do a lot in the warehouse.
How do the blokes go with you?
A lot of them, I would probably say maybe 70% of them don't like it at all. They'll come in and they'll say, oh, I want to speak to the manager.
Oh.
Well, I am the warehouse manager.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's an attitude that they got to change. Thanks, Sam. Yeah, hey, Jane, right. What do you do? Yes. What part of the industry are you in?
Oh, hello.
Yeah, it's Jane.
Look, it's not me. Sorry. It's not me. It's my daughter. My daughter is the AFL goal umpire. She's based in Melbourne, but she grew up in Queensland.
Wow.
And her first games were, well, her first AFL games were at the Gabba. It was actually the West Coast and Lions was her first game. We have a terrific photo of that.
Oh, that's
She's
great,
been doing man. This for ages, hasn't she?
She has. She's, Robin, she's just completed her trials for this year. Every January, the umpires have to go through quite a grilling trial. There's a 3K run now, which used to be a 5K. Skin folds. I think it's only the last year or two that they realise when women have more fat on their body.
Oh,
basically.
Yeah.
it's only, you know, and up till then, no, they competed with the males. Mm. She has to do the beep tests and all those sorts of trials along with the fellas.
Is this to be an umpire?
She's a goal umpire.
That's what I mean.
How fat you are.
Yeah, they move three steps to the left, three steps to the right. That's an incredible regime. But does she love it, Jane?
She loves it. She's a perfectionist. Always has been. So it's pretty grueling. What happened in the beginning, I mean, the higher she was elevated in the umpiring, the more respect, I think, that she received.
Yeah,
I mean,
she did
the grand final in 2012.
Wow. Yeah, right.
And
huge.
So it has been tough. It has been really tough going, especially in the, you know, in the junior grades coming through. There was a lot of abuse.
That's a job that no one notices. If you're doing your job properly, no one notices you.
Yeah, that's very true. Thank you, Jane. Okay, and finally we go to a lady called Dave. Dave from Burpengary.
Hello, Dales. Dave.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, mate. Who is it? Daughter, wife, anyone you know?
Yeah, no, look, it is my wife. We actually do retaining walls.
Oh. Now, there's heavy work, Dave. Does she pull a weight?
No, mate, honestly, she does. It's all physical work. Everything's minimum concrete work, so concrete sleepers and so forth.
Jesus.
She actually got runner-up in the keg lifting competition at Aussie World on Aussie Day.
There you go.
Oh, you've got a keeper, Dave.
Oh, mate, I do. And the one who won was a professional bodybuilder, security guard. Oh,
there you go. Fantastic. Well done. She'd be able to take one of your beans.
Dave's got a tear in his eye. Hey, we were going to talk the other day. We never got around to it. That guy... Now, I don't know if everyone knows the story. That guy with the Tigers, was it the Tigers sign?
The Tigers.
A kid who's never played NRL, he's never finished an under-20s match, and he's got something, what was it, $1.3 million contract?
They're saying $1.2 or $1.3 million deal. He's never finished a game of the 20s, Robin Amato. He's got some sort of, they're saying it's an issue perhaps with his back or something. They're not quite sure.
He's 18, all right?
He's 18 years old, yeah.
Never played a game. Like, you get that Kalyn Ponga, who we've seen him, we've been watching him for years, and he is a sensation. The Newcastle Knights have signed him and everything else, and he's known quantity. This guy, what's his name? Moses Suli or something like that.
Why have they signed him then?
Because they needed a giant. He's 106 kilograms and he's still growing.
Okay, okay.
They needed a big...
Fair enough.
They needed a big, ugly person. All right, I wanted to talk about it today because then you have a look at the Auckland Nines on the weekend. Mm. And that kid from the Chooks, from the Rooster, it is the year of the Rooster, let's not forget. And here they go winning the Auckland Nines. What was that young kid from up around Cairns Way? Bernard Lewis. Look at that kid there, Rowan. See him there on the back of the Courier Mail. He's on $10,000 a year and he won the tournament for them.
10 grand.
He's on 10 grand. We're talking about a kid who's done nothing on 1.3 mil. And this poor kid, apparently he's going to get an $8,000 bonus out of their prize money. Did you hear that one? And he said, what are you going to do with it? He said,
eat.
I live in Sydney. He's from Budu Island up in the Torres Strait. This little kid, he's got mum's name written. He's got Cairns and mum written on one wrist. And he's got the postcode for Cairns or Budu Island on his other. It's just beautiful. Like this poor kid. He's getting nothing. He wins a tournament for the Roosters and the other kid gets his 1.3.
Well, then we know that it's not about the value, Marto, as you know, and you would have seen this now, is that, I keep thinking this whenever I see an NRL bad boy lose his job playing rugby league and then wanders over to French rugby for $1 million. If I was a rugby player, Marto, if I was a good rugby player who'd played rugby my whole life, trying to get a job playing somewhere, and then all of a sudden, hey, have you met Ben? He's from the Epic Bender crew in Cronulla. And, No, he doesn't know how to play union. Bonjour. We're hoping you could teach him.
Who's that other bloke? His name's Sammy. What are you doing here? Oh, well, I've gotten paid millions as well. Rugby.
It's madness. Oh, if I was a rugby player, I'd be furious.
Yeah. No, Marta's going, no, it's okay.
You know, mate, it's the way of the world. If I'm anyone's furious, it's a kid who gets paid $10,000 and looks across at a kid who's done nothing and gets 1.3. Mm. Are we jealous?
Yeah, a little bit.
We're bitter and jealous.
I wasn't going to say anything. I've got to tell you guys, I've been on this planet a really long time, but it's only since I've been started with you blokes that I've been talking about fishing in Barramundi.
Well, congratulations.
How good is it?
Well, we were discussing it last week because there was a photo in the paper of a guy called Stuart from the Gold Coast who'd caught a massive Barramundi in the surface Paradise canals.
Caught a meter Barramundi on a soft plastic, chasing mango jack.
Where were you?
Oh, just in a local canal there at the back of Service Paradise.
So around Chevron Island somewhere.
Yeah. Now, not only am I discussing things like Barramundi with you two, but people are stopping me in the street to talk about Barramundi.
Good. Really?
Yeah, because on Saturday night, there is a bit of an institution in the western suburbs called Charlie's Chips. That's what it's affectionately known as. It's actually Kenmore Plaza Seafood. It is flat out
near
busy.
The roundabout there.
It's just near the late night chemist.
Oh, yeah.
Right-o. No, not Kenmore, not the other shopping centre. It's the one further down where Woolworths is.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, now Charlie, as I said, is a bit an institution and he does a whole lot of things. And I went and ordered because I had 8 17-year-olds staying the night at my place.
Yeah, God.
And I thought they'd done pizza a lot. So we got Charlie's Chips and I went in and picked it up. And Charlie wanted to talk about the Barra. Now, he has a theory about how the Barramundi...
Oh, so he was listening in on, what was that, Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, got fully into the conversation, of which I was just smiling and waving a lot, but I'm going to pass this on.
Yeah.
He reckons that the reason why the Barra is all over southeast Queensland is...
Yes.
...the floods. So what happened is that the floods moved the fish and then, oh, my God, I was intrigued enough to actually Google it because I seemed to be the queen of...
Farms?
Yes. They're actually moving. So there's a fish farm on the sunny coast.
Yeah, a barra farm.
A barra farm. And what happens is the little ones get through and got moved in the flood waters.
Yeah,
the fingerlings. Yeah. And it takes, wait for it, and this is what I found out on Google, 5 to 6 years for maturity. So that's now.
I like it.
So there you go. Charlie from Charlie's Chips at Kenmore Plaza Seafood has given you a definitive answer as to why we have barra.
Do you know what we have to do now, don't you?
Have more bloody floods, let me tell you.
No, that's not it.
Well, we've now got to do, we've got to bring back Best of Brisbane and do fish and chips. That's what that tells me.
Oh, Charlie's a win, mate. He's so good. His potato cakes are to die for.
Potato cakes?
Oh, so good.
What? No, what do we used to call potato flakes?
Scallops.
Scallops. Yeah. Well, I know, but if you say scallops now, then you get confused with the other scallops. So we just say potato cakes. But
great idea. That needs to come back.
Well, he's already a finalist. He's already in.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, done.
I ordered 20 on Saturday night.
What, scallops?
Potato cakes, right. And they were gone. Those 8 teenagers woofed them
in a minute. You know what? Hash browns have overtaken... You know, the people make hash browns instead of scallops these days.
No, I'm sorry, the potato cake is the kicker.
That's a silly thing to say.
No, as I grew up, I'd never seen a hash brown.
Yeah.
I was always a scallop man.
Yeah.
Potato scallop.
Yeah.
My God.
When are we going to do this Best of Brisbane?
Actually, you can start getting
your
votes in
now.
If you've got your favourite fish and chip shop in Brisbane, then at Triple M Brisbane on Twitter, start getting them in. We'll put something up on Facebook as well, Triple M Brisbane.
Get into it properly tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Good idea, Robin.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.